The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 18 in our Revelation series. This message is called Satan is Cast Down. We will read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 17. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, for the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." We learned in previous chapters that the last three trumpet soundings would be more horrific than all of the previous judgments. An eagle seraphim flew into the middle heavens and prophesied, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts from the other three angels." Trumpets 5, 6, and 7 were about to sound, and they would bring what we call the three woes. These trumpet sounds would release demon powers on the earth. Before this time, there's been wars and famines and natural disasters like asteroids plummeting into the ocean and onto the land. Water was fouled and the vegetation was burned, and many billions, or at least millions of people and a few billion people, had died up to this point. But the demons coming to the earth as part of God's judgment is something that is a living nightmare. The first woe we discovered happened when the angel released the locust demons that came out of the bottomless pit with their king, the beast named Apollyon. And they tormented people for 5 months. It was so horrendous that the people wanted to kill themselves. The scripture says that the second woe was the release of the 4 satanic generals that were released from prison somewhere along the Euphrates River. And they stirred the nations of the world to war. And there was 200 million mounted soldiers who were involved in that war. And a third of the people on the earth were killed because of this demonic attack that came from the second woe. And now the third woe will be released. It is another demonic force about to be released on the earth. It is Satan himself who will be cast down. In Revelation 12, 13 to 17, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments. Now, there have been many theologians who believe that this 12th chapter happened some thousands of years ago, perhaps 10,000 years ago, when Satan was in the heavens with the Lord as one of his worship leaders, named Lucifer, known as the covering cherub. But he rebelled against God, was puffed up with pride, and was cast down to the earth, and drew with him a third of the stars of heaven, which are the angels. I know that that happened in that he was kicked out of the inner circle of heaven. But that is not what we are reading about here in the 12th chapter. We cannot take this 12th chapter and somehow make it happen thousands of years before. Let's keep it right where it is in the context of the Great Tribulation. For this is the third woe. That ancient serpent, the devil. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan has been cast down to you. Before this time, even right now, Satan has what we might call diplomatic immunity. We cannot bind him. We cannot cast him into hell. We cannot take such authority over him so to kill him or wound him. We wish we could. Do you remember the time when Jesus started casting out demons? The demon said, I know who you are. Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? The demons know that there's a time when they will be cast into hell. But right now, we can cast them out of people, and we can command them to be quiet, and we can take authority over them. We can call upon the Lord to assist us, and he will send his angels to protect us from demon spirits, but they're in the world. And Satan, the Bible says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour people. We read that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. We read in Ephesians that he is the prince and the power of the air. And we read in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Revelation 12, 10 says he is the accuser of the brethren, accusing them before our God day and night. Job's story tells us that Satan was able not only to prowl around on the earth, seeking whom he may devour, bringing whatever kind of trouble he can. The Lord said to him, "Where have you come from?" He said, "I've come from roaming the earth and going back and forth on it." But he's not only able to go around on the earth like that, but he's also able to even come into the heavens, into the presence of God, to debate and accuse. That's what we see in Job's day. And Job certainly wasn't there before the foundations of the world or before creation. So Satan wasn't cast out of the heavens in this sense thousands of years ago. And this scripture in Revelation chapter 12 tells us that there was war in heaven. And before now, before this time, we read about Michael, who is about to have war with the devil. We read about him in Jude chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Even the archangel Michael did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now we read that Michael and his angels will go to war against the devil. It says in verse 7, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and he lost his place in heaven." Right now, the devil has some kind of diplomatic immunity, and he lives in this middle heaven, and he is the prince and the power of that region. And he does go up into the third heaven from time to time. And he does come down upon the earth, seeking whom he may devour from time to time. He is able to move all around, and we cannot destroy him, even though we can overcome him and take a stand against him. At this time, at the middle point of the great tribulation period, the three woes come. And the third one involves a battle in middle heaven, somewhere between the earth's atmosphere and the throne room of God. Michael, who previously would not lift his hand against Satan, but only say, "The Lord rebuke you," is now going after him with his mighty angels. And he fights the devil, and the devil fights back. And Michael is not inferior to the devil. Michael, even though he wouldn't fight previously, has no reason except the word of the Lord not to fight, because he has more power and more authority than the devil. And he overcomes the devil and casts him out of that middle heaven. He doesn't do it just by himself. He has angels with him. You remember the premise of our study goes right back to the very first part of the Revelation, where we read that the Lord Jesus stands with seven stars in his hand. Those seven stars are the seven archangels. The Lord is saying, "I am not going to do everything myself. I'm going to work with the angels." But he is also standing in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He is saying the book of Revelation that will destroy the devil and release God's blessings on Israel and the church will happen with the help of my angels and also the people of God. And even at this point, as Michael is fighting in the heavens with his angels against the devil and his angels, it is instructive for us to realize that the church is playing an important part. We read there in verse 11 of this chapter about the church. It says, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. It will be efforts of spirit-led saints that will, combined with the angels, cause Satan to be hurled down to the ground, to the earth, so that he will lose his place in heaven. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, their prayers and their prophetic words, empowered by the blood of Jesus, is their testimony. And this releases power in heaven. When there is agreement on earth, there is a release of power in heaven. The Lord has just designed it this way, that without prayer and prophecy, things that are eternal will not happen. He could do it all himself, but he chooses not to. And so as the people of God, even in this time of the great tribulation, are prophesying and praying and standing in faith, strength comes to those angels as they fight the devil. And the devil is cast down to the earth. We read that when the dragon saw that he was hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. That is the remainder of her seed. You remember, I said that it was only the prophetic group of the church and Israel that are snatched up into heaven. Those are the leaders. Those are the most outspoken, the most courageous, the most anointed, the ones who seem to have the power gifts and the authority. And the rest of the church is left behind. And that's the remainder of the woman's seed. But now the Lord is going to do some special things. And at the beginning of this second half of this great tribulation period, Satan is cast down to the earth. And she comes full of anger. She's enraged with the woman. And she wants, that is, she's enraged with the people of God. And she wants to go after and destroy the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. In two separate passages, we read that God provides a desert place for the woman to flee to. I don't think that this is a literal geographical hiding place. I believe it's a spiritual place of protection beyond the serpent's reach. It's a spiritual hiding place, a place where there is protection for the people of God. Their minds will be guarded against the powers of darkness. Satan and his demons will not be able to penetrate that barrier. Jesus said to us in his own teaching, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." The Lord says, you should have the fear of God in you, but you don't need to fear the devil. And even in this time, there will be a protection that will come to the people of God who remain behind. It doesn't mean that they will not be able to be killed, for many saints will still lose their lives. But they will be protected from deception, from lies, from torturous pain. The Lord will give them grace, and he will watch over them. It says that this woman, her seed, will be given the wings of a great eagle so that they might fly to a place. It is difficult sometimes to interpret the passages of Revelation, and this perhaps is one of the most difficult passages. We have to just say this is what it could mean. We read the woman was given the wings of a great eagle and taken to a place of protection for the last 3.5 years. It says for a time, times, and half a time. That is 1 year, 2 years, and half a year. So that's 3.5 years that are mentioned there. I think the two wings are exactly what a Christian will need to stay beyond the devil's enticing reach. And I believe that is faith and self-control. The two aspects of the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. And these two things are necessary for Christians in any era and time. And I think that there will be this kind of protection upon the people of God. They will have amazing faith and amazing self-control. And if they walk in faith and walk in the disciplines of the Lord, there will be a tremendous protection that will be given to them, like the wings of an eagle. The scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord shall be like eagles. They shall rise up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. That is what will happen to the saints during this time. It's interesting what comes after this. It seems that Satan is going to try to slander the people of God. Remember what has just happened. All of the people who were outspoken prophetic Christians and Jews have been killed. The leaders have been removed. It's the quiet saints who are left behind. And they are living in towns and villages besides other people who are, many of them, in deception, many of them in darkness. And the spirit of humanism will be everywhere. But now that the government has been taken over by demonic people, it seems that the Christians who are left behind are not a threat. Satan wants to kill them, but the people on the earth are not going to be aggressive toward them at this point. It's interesting, they say that in politics, a week can be like a lifetime because it can change the popular opinion and the minds of the people. And I think at this time, the people of the earth are saying they want to get back to their money-making business. They want to get back to trying to put together whatever they can to build their houses and their barns and have their pleasure once again. And they've seen an awful lot of bloodshed. So when Satan comes down to destroy the woman's seed, these are the quiet Christians who are left behind. And it's not politically correct to just go and kill all of these people who just seem to be nice people. And so he comes after them with slander. Riots will have stopped because the remaining Christians will not present an immediate threat to the new politic. Satan will try, therefore, a new tactic at this point. He will not be able to tempt Satan, Christians, to sin, and it will not be the right time to kill them. So he will slander them. And in Revelation 12, verse 15, that's what we read. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away. The devil will strike with slander. The smoothest talkers will be enlisted to hurl venom at the church. They will speak on behalf of the medical, social, scientific, and civil rights lobby groups. They will fabricate persuasive information that seems undeniable. Satan's lies and propaganda against the church will be spewed out like a verbal vomit. It will come through the media. It will be a demonic attack, a campaign of evil, slander, like the world has never seen before. and it will come to the nations like a river, the scripture says, to wash and discredit, to wash away and discredit anybody who believes in God. It will squeeze the remaining saints, discredit the claims of the church, and render God's people vulnerable. The slander will portray Christians as deceivers, and it will produce some kind of evidence to show that their doctrines are scientifically impossible. Slanderers will even suggest that Christians are enemies of society, that they are manipulators who prey on the weak. They will accuse Christians of mind control and brainwashing. Nothing new, but the slander will be worse than anything that has happened before. They will use footage from the recent rule of Christians around the world and compare them to Hitler's rule. The world will once again shift towards anti-Semitic sentiment, and persecution will start to bubble again. Suddenly and unexpectedly, the natural world will be used by God to help the church. It says, then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away in the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. At this time, the earth itself, the scripture says, will help remove the slander. To everyone's surprise, scientific breakthroughs will erupt around the world. This is my suggestion. New information involving nature will come to light, exposing the devil's lies. Categorically, the new research will confirm the scientific truth of Judeo-Christian teachings. I suggest that the following will suddenly come into view. Evolution will be proven scientifically wrong. The life of the fetus will be seen as human, and homosexual unions will be scientifically shown as being abnormal. When this happens, thousands of scientists will believe in God, and simultaneously, multitudes will come forward to defend the saints. They will tell countless stories of Christian compassion and heaven-sent miracles. The devil's propaganda plan will backfire. We've seen this in recent months, even in the political campaign, where slander comes against one party and the people. They may not be Christians, but they don't like it if it is unfair and unjust. And the scripture says that the earth is going to open up and swallow the slander that comes against the church at this time. But Satan will be furious. Satan's anger will soon expose his hand. He will conjure and scheme, and new hatred will focus on the church. Satan will be unable to stop himself. He will not be using any reasonable judgment from this point. He will employ his most powerful forces openly. Most of the time, he does things in kind of a clandestine way. He comes with deception. But now he's going to bring everything that is vile and dark out to the front. His most wicked weapons of witchcraft will soon be unleashed upon mankind in order to crush the church. Satan will rally fallen angels, demon lords, the beast, the false prophet, wicked men, and he will stretch forth his arm to demonize the world and to kill every Christian on the planet. Many who had followed him through the tribulation will turn away from him at the end. The seven bowls of wrath will come as Satan starts to bring his most vile leaders to the forefront. And the world will for a season be caught up to follow the beast and the false prophet. But during this same period of time, the seven bowls of wrath, the worst judgments that could ever be imagined and that the world has ever seen will be released. The remainder of the woman's seed will rise up with new evangelistic anointing. Revival will sweep the earth again. Satan's most dreadful moment is drawing near. The King of Kings will soon be splitting the eastern skies. And when he comes, he will put all things right.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.